Broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Learning Insight, featuring learning professionals improving performance to drive business results.
Welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Learning Insights, brought to you by our friends over at Training Pros. And in the studio with me this morning is Lee Cantor and David Edelman with Training Pros. And, of course, I'm your host, Stone Payton. Welcome to the studio, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Doing well.
All right. So, David, I understand we have an exciting guest today. Who do we bring with us?
Jeff Conway from Huddle House.
Welcome to the show, Jeff. Glad to have you, man.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So I have a very endearing memory of Huddle House that I did not tell you about before we went on air. My college roommate worked at Huddle House before coming over to the University of South Alabama. He was from Heflin, Alabama, but he was in charge of breakfast, and boy, did he know how to do the over-easy eggs.
Let me tell you something. That's a skill that you learn with time.
So I understand you are Director of People Services. What a cool title. What does a Director of People Services do for Huddle House?
Actually, that's a great segue. I'm sorry. It's one of those days this morning. Director of People Services, basically in charge of human resources for our company and really looking out for the growth of our folks and our brand.
Now, when you're in an environment where I would imagine most of your workers are, you know, on the front lines in the Huddle House doing the work of the Huddle House employee, how do you kind of have the opportunity to train them? How does training work in your world?
Actually, we have a couple different pathways that we take. The first one is we do actual hands-on training in the units. So we actually have a training department goes out and we spend
time. So it goes on-site?
Yep. We go out on-site. We have a great team of trainers that go out and spend quality time with them, especially during our opening process, and teach them hands-on how to do their respective position. And then for our management development, we actually do a combination of both on-site and classroom training.
So then they're remotely going to the person wherever they're at, but sometimes they send them back to headquarters for more like kind of classroom training?
Yeah, we do regional-based training, so that way we don't have to take them away from their restaurant for a long period of time.
So is there a lot of turnover in your industry in general, and if so, have you designed some strategies to sort of mitigate that for Huddle House?
Yeah, there is a lot of turnover, unfortunately, in the restaurant industry, particularly with server ranks, and basically because of the fact of where we're located in a lot of those areas. We're more in the rural communities, and that makes it difficult for recruiting in general. We have looked at a lot of different programs to enhance the quality of life for our employees, including benefits and being able to be more competitive in those areas with regards to pay and incentive programs.
So, David, how'd you run into this guy? How do you guys know each other? You spend a lot of time at the Huddle House? You haven't missed many breakfasts, I know that.
Jeff and I actually worked together for a year.
Oh, really?
At a company called International Bio Resources. We set up and ran blood plasma donation centers. And Jeff was we worked in the training department together. And Jeff ran the Leadership Academy program there.
Now, when you're dealing with leadership in this environment, and you mentioned when I guess more leadership happens more in the classroom rather than on site, how does that transition happen?
Actually, one of the things that I struggle with, and I think that a lot of people do, is how do you take a classroom setting and actually get these people who spend most of their time in a restaurant to participate in the classroom? And so that's been a struggle. But what we've done is we've actually said, okay, how can I take the real life aspect of the restaurant and bring it into the classroom and get them to be a higher level of participation? So what we do is we actually give them real life scenarios. We work with them. We have them work with each other and provide feedback to each other. So that way it's not the traditional classroom is go in, sit, and feel like you're a hostage and you're being talked to. Unfortunately, I think we've all been there at one point or another. But what we try to do is really incorporate the everyday learnings, bring real life scenarios. So we'll ask for our participants to come with situations that they can share. And we ask them to actually break into groups and work together to solve those situations and how they may handle it.
So can you walk us through something?
Sure. For example, we might have an issue with food cost. And how do you address food cost? So one of the things we might say is, okay, what are some of the things that are the big challenging points? It could be anything from portion control. Unfortunately, employee theft is always an issue. And it could be as small as the scale that we use for portion control isn't working correctly.
Right.
So we look at all those aspects, and we try to challenge them to come up with those things on their own. And by having a group of seasoned managers together, they're able to actually talk about it a lot more, and they come out with some of these solutions on their own. And it's actually interesting because in the long run, I've walked away from a few classes where we've learned some stuff from our managers and said, okay, this is what we need to do.
Now, do you have a system that kind of takes these best practices and kind of rolls it out system-wide?
Yeah, what we do is we do, for Huddle House specifically, we do what's called a Manager's Action Council, and that is where we have every year we do what's called best of the best. And at the end of the year, those folks come together and they share their best practices. We take that information, we roll it into our new training materials and our new processes and procedures, and then we share it back out to the field. So we make it a best practice.
It seems like the training, though, it's constantly evolving.
Correct. Training, the thought of training doesn't change, but the fact that it, like you said, it evolves every single day. If you don't pay attention to the trends that are currently going on within the industry, technology, the generational changes, then at the end of the day, you lose sight of what you're doing. And unfortunately, your programs become stagnant. Your employees then leave. I mean, turnover is definitely a big factor in that.
Even at the manager level?
Even at the manager level.
Well, yeah, and you invest in their training, and then they get their training on your nickel, and then they go work somewhere else. That's got to hurt.
Yeah, it does. And you know what? Everybody in the industry feels that every time they train somebody.
And that's, what's worse, you don't train them and they stay.
Right? Exactly. That's even more expensive, right?
Exactly, because in the long run, now you're talking about higher costs all the way around and lower morale. So we don't want to go that route either.
So size and nature of this Huddle House system, how big is it?
Right now we're at about 398 restaurants.
Oh, wow.
Is it a franchise?
Yes, actually. We have 12 company units. And we have 163 franchise partners.
Wow.
I could see a combination Business Radio X Huddle House. That would be my nirvana.
No, we're just going to get you guys come to one of our restaurants, set up there, and have breakfast while you do the show. That's all.
I'm in, man. I am in. So I'm always fascinated by what happens in the trenches, the feedback loop. What are managers taught and trained to do when workers get off script, so to speak, violate some of these unwritten rules, or how do you give the feedback, but in such a way that they don't just stomp out and go work somewhere else? Is there some sort of methodology or something they're taught?
Yes, actually there is, and that raises another great question, because we constantly see that as an industry, where we see that people are actually not coaching other people to be successful, and instead they correct them constantly and they're not providing that feedback. So what we do is we actually spend a lot of time training the managers on their coaching and feedback skills, because at the end of the day, we want them to be coaches. We don't want them to be, quote, dictators to their people. You catch a lot more people staying in our restaurants and in any restaurant when you have a great leader within the facility, someone that takes the time and says, hey, you know what, that's great the way you're doing it. Have you ever thought about doing it this way? Because here's the reasons why. We don't always look for buy-in with our coaching and our feedback, and I think that that's the problem. We tend to tell people what they want to do, what we expect them to do, and instead of asking them how to solve those problems. So as an industry, that's something that we are very cognizant of.
Now, you've worked outside of the restaurant industry, right? Your career isn't only restaurant-oriented. Do you see similarities or differences in working in the restaurant industry as opposed to some other industries?
The other industries I've worked in, I'll tell you, the challenges are the same. The building changes, the name of the company changes,
but for the most part, these are kind of universal.
Yeah, it's universal people. Challenges. Exactly. It is all about the people and how you treat the people. And if you treat them right, you're going to get a great response.
Now, in restaurants, are there any kind of multi-generational issues that you have to deal with?
Most definitely. I will tell you, we've got some servers that have been with us for 26, 27 years.
Wow.
And we've got some that just got out of high school a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, you have to be very cognizant of that. And it becomes a challenge for some of our younger managers and how they handle those folks. One of the important things that we try to do is to teach them how to deal with everybody. So we talk about that in some of our training classes.
Can you share an example of maybe a tip on how to deal with people from different generations?
Respectfulness.
It goes a long way.
It goes a long way. And a lot of these folks have been around a long time. They've seen it. And I think that one of the things that we look at when we coach an older person or someone of another generation is, you know, what's your opinion? How do you handle this? How have you handled this before? Or how would you like to be in that same situation? How would you like to be there?
Now, what about the transition to new technology?
That's a challenge. And I think that that's a challenge more for our older generation than it is for the newer generation. We're constantly looking at ways to deliver our training material, not only our training material, but also our hiring material. I can share with you that we just did, we're in the process of moving to an online application system. And in a lot of our areas, that is a challenge for some of our folks.
What, an online application for what?
For employment.
Uh-huh.
And we are looking at some online training pieces as well right now. So,
a person can apply like from a website or an app?
Yeah, you want to apply right now? We'll give you the Huddle House website.
I saw Kevin typing, so I was a little nervous.
You know, we're always looking for managers, you know. We could certainly use the help. But yeah, we're always looking at how do we bring in the new technology without scaring some of the folks that are there, but also to make sure that it's actually going to be used.
Uh-huh.
So is your customer demographic as broad and varied as you described your employee population? Do you have people different ages, cultures, that kind of thing?
Being that we're 49 years old, yeah. We have it on all levels. Yeah. And actually, it's interesting because I know for a fact one of the restaurants that I visit quite a bit, we have the entire family. So mom and dad, grandpa, and the younger kids are there. And
cool.
They've been coming every Sunday for, you know, Sunday brunch. Or they call it Sunday brunch, but it's Sunday breakfast for us. So we do see a large spectrum of folks that come in.
So 390 plus units. We have four. We intend to have more at some point. We have some aggressive plans to expand. But we have enough challenges, Lee, getting, if we get a good idea, something that's working, and we want to get it out to our four studios, I mean, we have enough challenges. I can't imagine the challenges associated with getting good information out to 390 units. Speak to that a little bit, if you would.
It is a challenge. We deploy several different methods. We use, obviously, email communication. We do mailings to all the restaurants. And when we change something like a marketing piece or a new menu item or procedure, typically we'll do regional training. So we use our franchise area directors. They're our main point of contact for our franchise partners as well as the training team. They go out regionally and do training sessions, and then those managers go back to their units and actually work with their crew. We do a validation piece on the backside when the area director actually visits the restaurant. They'll go over all of the training with the actual employees to validate that the training has been completed.
So there's some sort of a compliance element to it? It's not just like, here's the information, you know, check it out as you see fit. There's some kind of checkpoints and accountability?
Correct. We do a training sign-off sheet for all of the franchise partners to actually share with their restaurants, and then we go back either as trainers or as the area directors to do a follow-up to ensure that they are being done.
Now, what's it like when you're launching a new franchise out there in the wild? Because that's a different challenge, right?
Yeah, that is a very big challenge.
Because now you got to integrate them into this new world, this new system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of these people, they've never experienced this before, or they're coming from different systems.
Yeah, we actually have a very robust training program with regards to new franchise partners.
Is this part of your you do as well?
Yep.
They're people too, Lee.
They're people too. Exactly. they're the most important people, let me tell you.
Let's get that recorded and on the air.
Yeah, it is a challenge, but I'll tell you something. We have regional training centers where they come and they spend up to 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Six weeks on-hand training. Then they go out and they do what we call a basics class, which is all our basics leadership scenarios and situations. And then we take them from there and we actually send them to run a restaurant for a couple weeks, and then they go to an opening. So that way, by the time their opening comes, they're ready for
it. They've already seen
they've done it, they've experienced all the challenges. We try to set them up. Obviously, our success is their success, so we want them to be successful at the onset.
Right.
And at the end of the day, we go out there, we support their opening, we're on site for several weeks, and when we leave them, then their franchise area director comes in and does a support follow-up, and then we do normal support visits from there on.
Now, are the franchisees typically operators, or are they kind of silent partners, and then you have to deal with the managers?
We have a combination of all, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have some that are actually owner-operators. We have some that are just operators, as you say, but they're out of the picture. They're more of a backer.
Right.
And those folks actually go through a training program of their own, so that way they understand all the workings of our paperwork.
Right, so you can manage their expectations.
Exactly, right. Exactly. We want them to be successful, so we don't want them to hire an operator that's going to do stuff and try to hide it from them. So right. We want them to be aware of any issues.
So is there some grand whiteboard in your office or some big, I would liken it to an editorial calendar in our world, right? That you know you're going to do all this training or you got these projects and you've got it all planned
kind of out?
Is that the map master?
Actually, we do have a calendar of events for the year for all of our supplemental classes. And the way that we operate our manager training classes in our regional locations is we actually do on-demand training. So as we have a new partner coming in, we put them into that unit and they start day one. And so we might have a new partner start the following week on the first week of training. So we'll have multiple people at different stages of training throughout our regional classes.
Wow. Now, how do you deal with like kind of the changes in the technologies and the different methodologies that pop up?
Head on.
Because it seems, I mean, we do this show every week, so every week somebody's like, oh, we do this kind of training or this kind, and I'm sure you're bombarded with, you know, the latest and greatest new idea, and some of them are good and would work in your situation, but some of them don't fit.
Correct. Obviously, we have to evaluate everything that's brought to us. We also look at what's been successful for us as a brand, and Dave will tell you in the past we've done that as well. You know, what works for the brands that we're working for, and how can we actually integrate those things? Sometimes we have challenges with technology on the back end. The front end user may not be able to support that from a technology standpoint.
Right.
So we're always looking at that. At the end of the day, it's weighing out the pros and cons of it as far as what the costing would be and what the return would be on those
items. But that's
part
of your job, too, is vetting this kind of stuff?
Yes, it is.
So you must get bombarded.
Yes, vendors love me.
How does that work? Because you, when you're promoting your services at Training Pros, you genuinely want to help folks like Jeff. But, I mean, you can't just knock on the door. That's got to be – how do those relationships get cultivated and nurtured and respected and capitalized on? That's got to be tough.
I'm looking at you.
They're both looking at each other like, oh, we don't know. It happens over coffee and eggs.
It actually does, a huddle house. For me, from the client perspective, I'll tell you that it depends on the approach of the vendor, obviously, and if it's something that definitely piques my interest that I think would be able to be rolled out to our franchise partners at the end of the day, I'm willing to listen and talk to these folks. They have a job to do. I have a job to do as well. My job is to enhance my franchise partner's experience and also to protect them.
Yeah, and I think, for my part, I guess my background in training, I've been in training for over 20 years, so I know what's going on, and I can be a
incredible.
But I can also be an independent ear, somebody that's outside of their organization,
right?
To give feedback where they don't have to go to a superior or whatever and say, what do you think about this?
So you feel like you can give David a call. It may not have anything to do with what his core business is, but because of his knowledge and expertise, you feel like, hey, you can bounce some stuff off of him, get some input.
Oh, most definitely.
Say
and
yes,
I think
Jeff.
You can pay me later. The whole thing, like you said, Stone, I think the whole thing with the training industry in general is that we all share best practices. And we're, even though we're a big community, at heart, we're really a small community. And I know for the last 28 years, I've talked to a lot of people in even competing industries with us. I've talked with their training people, and we've shared best practices, and that's the thing. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all looking to get the same way. And I've said this to Dave over the years, and I've said it to other people. Training is like the wheel. It's still circular. Nothing changes about it. It's just the approach and how you get an end result about it.
Now, how do you work the same way with other stakeholders in your business? Like, because you have, you're serving the franchisee, you're serving their, you know, the people that are working there, and vendors. And in your business, like, there's food purveyors and beverage purveyors, and, you know, the person that makes the menu. Or, is it collaborative that you're sharing best practices all around? I mean, I would think that that would work best, but that sounds like kind of pie in the sky.
You're only as successful as those around you. So, right. Yeah, at the end of the day, we do. And I'll tell you something from a training perspective. You know, we definitely get feedback from our trainees. We definitely ask them questions. We want to hear what they thought were what I would consider the good, bad, and ugly. Mm-hmm. We don't know something unless they say something, hey, you know what, this doesn't work. We've got a better suggestion.
Right.
We're always open for that evolution. Without that, I think that you would see, as an industry, the training industry and the restaurant industry would just go stagnant.
But it seems like in the restaurant industry especially, there's a lot of changes. Like, there's a lot of health and dietary situations, like gluten-free. I mean, that wasn't around, you know, 5 years ago. And now that these are issues that people must have questions, and you have to educate, you know, the server to be able to answer some things that maybe you hadn't in the past.
Yeah, and that is a very good point. And that's part of what we do on a daily basis, is what are those new trends out there? How
right.
can we be more servicing to our guests? And at the end of the day, it's about, there's a multitude of guests. There's the partners, there's the managers,
right.
there's the servers, and there's the paying guests. But yeah, what do we need to do? How do we need to make those changes? The information that we convey over, it's a constant evolution, and really paying attention to what's going on in the industry.
So have you been able to cultivate this peer-to-peer dynamic among the franchisees and among the managers? Because it sounds like that's a big part of your culture at Huddle House.
It is, and it's not just for us. It's for everybody in the industry. By doing the leadership classes that we do, we actually bring partners and managers in from other units, and they share their best practices. At the end of the day, not only is a learning experience for them, but it is also a point of building that relationship with their peers.
Now, has there been anything that's ever bubbled up in there in one of these peer-to-peer meetings where you're like, man, that is just great idea, and then people get all excited? Like, have you heard something you'd never heard before or came out of the blue?
You know, I can't give you a specific example of that, but I will tell you that they are the people that provide us with the innovation at the end of the day. A lot of our menu items have come from cooks who are out on the line, and they just get creative on their break, and you know what? That's a great product. Let's move with it. We just did a product called a stuffed hash brown.
Right.
And one of our cooks actually came up with that, and it's been a hit in our restaurant. So, yeah, we definitely pay attention to what our people have to say.
How quickly, like, from somebody having an idea, can it be rolled out system-wide?
That actually rolled out in less than 3 months.
Wow, so he's got yeah. an idea, have the meeting, and then it's out there in the
yeah.
marketplace. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, we tested it in a couple of our franchise
right, so
partner restaurants.
You have the idea, throw it out there, get some guinea pigs out there, see how it goes, and then boom.
Well, they're not guinea pigs. They're actually guests, but yes.
That's awesome.
So I accidentally spilled some blue cheese on poached eggs this weekend. You can have that for free.
Oh, okay. No royalty paid there.
Run with it. Now, you go to some length to make a distinction between customer service and guest service. Speak to that a little bit, if you would.
That's guest service, in my mind, is very important. We have the name House on our building. And you're welcoming folks into our house. And guest service is really important to me. It's not just since Huddle House. It's been there for a very long time. And I'll tell you something, at the end of the day, we're not selling houses or buildings or anything else. We're selling a service. And I think it's really important when you're providing that service that you treat them like they're part of your family.
David, you knocked another one out of the park, man. Yeah, where do you find these people? You must have the most incredible network of people in this arena. Nicely done, man.
Thank you. I'm fortunate to know a lot of great people.
No, it's been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning, Jeff.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a great time.
Now, I know you kind of tongue-in-cheek suggested to Lee that he might consider applying, but recruiting is an ongoing thing. Would you like to get any coordinates, website, something out to our listeners in case they're interested in learning more about a career with Huddle House?
Sure. It's going to be www.huddlehouse.com.
And then so there's information about, I'm sure, the locations, but also if they're interested in a career at Huddle House, there's opportunity.
Career information as well as franchising information. So if you'd like to be a franchise partner of ours,
so you're looking for more franchises?
Of course. Expand. We're always looking for people that want to get in on the great, awesome opportunity.
Outstanding. And please do not dismiss this idea of remote broadcast in one of the units. I think that idea has some merit. We may very well pursue that. Fantastic job, guys. A lot of fun. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor and David Edelman, and our guest this morning, Jeff Conway from Huddle House, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family. Saying we'll see you next week on Learning Insights.